there's a code that we have in this business. When I come in here, I shake your hand. There's no mouth that is closed, because that's tradition, that's the respect that we have for one another in this business. Not because you're over, not because you're the champion, not because you're somebody at the bottom of the totem pole or up top. That's because you need me as much as I need you, so that we can make that money in 2020.
On October 6th, in Long Beach, California, after Ziggy Dice disrespected Elijah Burke, the Pope cut one of the best promos in all of 2020. And let's face it, it was probably an already foregone conclusion that Elijah Burke would be the man to defeat Ziggy Dice to take that television title. But I don't think we understood then what we understand now. I don't think any one of us had these expectations of Elijah Burke flat out stealing the show for the National Wrestling Alliance. My name is Jay Cal, and this is a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, your number one source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance and the United Wrestling Network. The meteoric rise of Elijah Burke and the NWA is something that is quite phenomenal. I don't know that we've ever seen something like this before, and I don't know if we'll ever see something like this again. Elijah Burke, right now, as far as I'm concerned, is everything that's right with the NWA. Unfortunately, he's not enough. He's not enough. He can't carry the entire brand. He's just one man. But he's golden on the mic. He's great in the ring. And is there anybody on that roster who looks as credible as Elijah Burke to challenge Nick Aldis? When we come back from commercial, we're going to talk about the television champion, what it means to be a television champion, and what this might mean for the NWA going forward. Plus, I have some things I just need to get off my chest about War Kings. I hope you guys will sit around and listen to that, and we'll be back after this. It's every man's business to see justice done. And that's why I'm so damn pissed off. Because I don't feel like justice was done on Tuesday night. And the delay of justice is an injustice. Tuesday night was a night that was supposed to be a tag team showcase for the NWA. And let's be perfectly honest, that's an oxymoron for the National Wrestling Alliance, because they have failed to present a decent tag team division in the Lightning One era. Yeah, I know, get the hate mail ready. But first and foremost, you have to admit that the NWA has struggled to build a decent tag team roster since they've been at this. Now remember, when Billy Corgan purchased the NWA, the Heat Seekers, Sigmund, well, they were tag team champions. And they were stripped of the titles so that the NWA can move forward in a different direction, which is fine. I'm all about that. I'm totally good with that. You know, this is your company, Billy Corgan. Let's build it accordingly. However, what are we doing? Because on Tuesday night, you bring in a very established tag team in Odinson and Paro, The End, They've wrestled all over All Japan. They've wrestled over the United States, specifically for Evolve. I mean, WWE executives were made well aware of these two guys. I mean, they're big, they're beefy. They could certainly be the cornerstone of any tag team division. And, you know, you have them lose on their debut. Now, I get it. You put them in the ring with Tom Latimer, former NWA World Tag Team Champion in his own right. And his partner is the current NWA National Champion. And they're not little guys. These are big dudes. And I have no problem with the pairing of Adonis and Latimer. I mean, it would be my hopes that if you bring in a tag team like The End, that you would build them up and let them grow and see how the fans react to them. But we're also in week three of television, and I'm sure there's much, much, much more stories to be told that I'm completely unaware of. However, the way that the NWA has been presenting the War King, it's an injustice. It's disappointing. I don't get it. Someone make this make sense. Because it doesn't make sense. First of all, Crimson is a badass. Crimson is such a talented individual. He's perfect for the NWA. He can go as a singles wrestler if that's what they want. But again, the NWA has struggled to fill a roster of tag teams since its inception. I mean, let's go back to day one when Billy Corgan purchased the NWA. The tag team titles were sealed. The Heat Seekers got the ADOs. The tag titles were sealed, maybe to be forgotten forever. And the NWA was in a rebuilding phase, right? Although Tim Storm was beloved by the fans, and the 10 pounds of gold did a great job of building him up. And of course, you know, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, it ushered in a new era. Tim Storm was wrestling in front of larger audiences. He was wrestling against a better opponent, specifically Nick Aldis. It wasn't long before the NWA reintroduced the national championship and brought Jazz back as the Women's World Championship. And we saw our first real tag team in the NWA on October 21st, 2018. For those of you who are in the know, that was the NWA 70th anniversary show, their first pay-per-view. And in a weird set of circumstances, they introduced the War Kings, which was Crimson and Jack Stane, who really had been wrestling in Impact Wrestling. They had made appearances for Ohio Valley at this point. They were challenging, or I don't even know what the words to describe it. And Josephus was building his army. And he actually made the challenge to them and said that he was going to have his tag team face the War Kings. His tag team ended up being Crazy Steve from Impact Wrestling and Shannon Moore. Now the War Kings destroyed these guys. Rightfully so. It was great. I was there in Nashville for that match. I saw that match live. The War Kings were fronted by Animal from the Road Warriors. And because, with good reason, it was a very much a modern-day retelling of the Legion of Doom. You had Crimson, you had Dane, you had two badass dudes. Again, these two gentlemen could anchor your tag team division. This is what the NWA needs. And I know that they predate Power, but they've been featured on three pay-per-views. I mean, I guess technically four now, right? But they were also part of the New Year's Clash, the NWA pop-up event, when they again teamed together with Road Warrior Animal, leading them to the ring. They defeated Caleb Conley and Jay Bradley at the Crockett Cup 2019. Now, we haven't seen Jay Bradley in an NWA ring in a minute, but he did partner with Caleb Conley, and Caleb Conley was featured heavily in the first season of NWA Power. Now, we know that the War Kings weren't invited to the first season of Power because Crimson was hurt. And for whatever reason, they decided to delay bringing in Jack Stane until they had an appropriate storyline, which, of course, was him seeking vengeance against Tim Storm, who never gave him a rematch for that World's Heavyweight Championship. So we've already painted the picture. Crimson is a bad dude. He's great in the ring. He can work as a singles. He can work as a tag team. But let's talk about Jack Stane, because he is the one of the only men to actually have held the national title, the tag titles, and the World's Heavyweight Championship. Nobody in the NWA right now has been able to do that. And when Jack Stane was tag team champion, he was defending that title in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And when he won that World's Heavyweight Championship, he defeated New Japan Pro Wrestler Hiroshi Tenzin. So these guys aren't slobs. They're not jokes. I mean, they're legit deals. And the NWA was high on them enough to use them for their first two pay-per-views and brought them back for the Crockett Cup 2019. Now, again, we talk about the NWA's inability to present a solid tag team division. This was certainly on display at the Crockett Cup because, you know, maybe this was a good idea, but they partnered with Ring of Honor, and that afforded them the opportunity to use tag team wrestlers from CMLL and New Japan Pro Wrestling. We got this odd pairing of Royce Isaacs and Tom Latimer that actually ended up working really, really well. We got Bandito and Flip Gordon. We got the Briscoes. We got the Rock and Roll Express. We got Villains Enterprise. We even got Satoshi Kojima, a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion and Tag Team Champion in his own right, teaming with New Japan Pro Wrestling legend and former IWGP Heavyweight Champion Yuji Nagata. I mean, this was a pretty big deal. And, you know, again, I don't feel like the War Kings were respected the way they should have been. Now, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know what happened. But, of course, we know that the Crockett Cup ended with, you know, the tag team champions being Villains Enterprise, Brody King and PCO. And before the first episode of Power, those tag title belts were resting around the waist of Royce Isaacs and Tom Latimer, the Wild Card, who would go on to form Strictly Business, and the rest is history. But ever since, the NWA hasn't been able to put together a decent tag team division. The first season, at best, we got Homicide and Kingston, which they never really did a whole lot. We got the Dawsons. Again, I mean, Dave and Zane were great, but they didn't bring a whole lot to the table. You know, they started flirting with the idea of Stevens and the question mark. That never really came to too much fruition. You know, you had Cabana teaming with Ken Anderson for a minute. There was a lot of thrown together tag teams, but let's be honest. The first three seasons of the NWA Power centered around, in terms of tag teams, it centered around Royce Isaacs and Tom Latimer as the Wild Card, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, and Eli Drake and James Storm. Only one of those tag teams were established prior to NWA Power starting, prior to the Crockett Cup anyways. So you have War Kings, you have Odinson and Paro, you have these two really solid tag teams. And again, I could get behind Strictly Business getting the W on Tuesday night, but what I can't get behind is Mims rolling up Crimson while teaming with Slice Boogie to defeat the War Kings. It just makes no damn sense. I mean, we've talked about the pedigree of Crimson and the pedigree of Jack Stane and how good these guys are and how they were featured on three pay-per-views prior to the beginning of NWA Power. You brought them back for the first episode of Power, the first pay-per-view since the pandemic, only to have them lose in a four-way elimination match. And then their first match in Power, you have them lose to the same guy and his partner who beat them in the four-way elimination match. I don't get it. Somebody make this make sense to me, because I feel like you're wasting everybody's time. if you didn't want to have Dane and Crimson as a tag team, then why did you even bother bringing them back in as the tag team? Just leave them separate. That's okay too. But in a division that's so weak that they could benefit from any tag teams, why you'd go this route? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't think anyone can make it make sense to me. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, again, we're on week three of the storytelling. Hopefully things will get better. Hopefully we'll see something better. But as of right now, I'm so disappointed in the NWA, and I'm so disappointed in the lack of planning out this tag team division. But, you know, let's talk about something good. So let's talk about that television championship. Let's talk about Elijah Burke. What a breath of fresh air. This is probably the most enjoyable part of the NWA since its comeback, in my humble opinion. And here, I'll tell you why. That television title, in a span of three matches, feels more meaningful than any other championship in the NWA right now, sans the 10 pounds of gold. Of course I love you, 10 pounds of gold. I love the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. But let me tell you why I'm so excited about that world television title. Because it's the baby of the NWA, right? That title was first crowned on January the 24th, live on pay-per-view 2020 at the Georgia Public Broadcasting Studios as part of Hard Times. It was a tournament. It was a tournament to crown a new TV champion. And Ricky Starks, deservedly so, wins that championship by defeating Matt Cross, by defeating Tim Storm, and lastly, by defeating Trevor Murdoch. That television title certainly didn't come without its own set of, you know, circumstances. It's a best a series of seven matches where if you win lucky seven, I'm sorry if I'm just saying it wrong, but that lucky seven where if you win seven matches in a row as world champ, or excuse me, as television champion, you get a shot at that 10 pounds of gold. Ricky Starks was working towards that. I mean, he only got that title for two whole days after winning it at the pay-per-view. Now, I know it's a little glib because, of course, they taped the tapings in Atlanta. They taped several matches at once over the course of two or three nights so that they don't have to keep producing live television week in and week out. It saves money. It's a good idea. But after winning that title by defeating Trevor Murdoch, Ricky Starks has a successful defense against Matt Cross on episode 18 of NWA Power. He successfully defends the title against Zicky Dice. Excuse me, that was on episode 16 of NWA Power. Got him a little out of order there. And then loses the title to Zicky Dice on the 20th episode of NWA Power. And then the title goes into a hiatus because of a global pandemic that nobody could have expected. Nobody knew what was coming. You know, Ricky Starks ends up leaving the company. You know, I think the NWA had long-term plans for him. I think he would have regained that NWA television title, if you're asking my opinion. I think he and Zicky Dice might have fought over that title for all of 2020, but that didn't happen, did it? In fact, when the NWA went on a hiatus throughout the year, the first time we see the TV title is at Primetime Live. And it's at Primetime Live where Zicky Dice, you know, at that point, I think the ship had sailed with him in the NWA. I think at this point, he was, there was too much bad blood already. So on October the 6th, you've got the Pope, you've got Watts. Zicky Dice brings out his mystery partner. It's Effie. You know, those guys are actual buddies. You see them doing Twitch streams now. But that match was to build up to Watts versus Zicky Dice. It was the only match that didn't have an existing storyline behind I mean, of course, Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb didn't have a storyline going on either, but I mean, it kind of played off the match that they had in AEW. I'm going off on a tangent. Let's get back to what's important. Elijah Burke challenges Zicky Dice on October 20th in Long Beach, California, Thunder Studios Primetime Live to become the new television champion. And in that time, Zicky Dice was sitting at home too, just like every, excuse me. Yeah, Zicky Dice actually kept on working because he found places to work. Elijah Burke was sitting at home like everyone else, waiting for an opportunity to defend that television title. And I don't know if he went home and found the Fountain of Youth, if he, all of his injuries miraculously healed, but Elijah Burke, the Pope, a man who only competed on a part-time basis for Impact Wrestling, a man who, at one point, Vincent Kennedy McMahon declared him the future of pro wrestling, found the Fountain of Youth. When Elijah Burke came back to the Georgia Public Broadcasting Studios for Back to the Attack, he was going to face a very determined Tasmanian Devil, a very formidable athlete in Tom Latimer. But he stood no chance against the People's Champion, because let me tell you, that silver tongue pugilist, the man who can cut fire promos and then hit you with a pair of knees in the ring, outlasted Tom Latimer. No, he didn't get the win, but he didn't get the loss. And if anything shows you, anything with NWA Power has shown you, is that, you know, Strictly Business doesn't lose very often. The Pope beating Tom Latimer showed me that the NWA trusts the Pope. The NWA sees potential in the Pope. And I think he solidified that on Tuesday night. I mean, hell, he solidified it a long time ago with his promos on Primetime Live, the promos at Back for the Attack, the first promo that he gave on the first episode of NWA Power, I guess that would be episode 22, the promo he gave for episode 23 when Fred Rosser accused him of not being ready for wrestling, the People's Champion spoke. The clapback was epic. And the thing about Elijah Burke is this, you know, the NWA has said time and time again, and when I say the NWA, I mean the collective of Nick Aldis and Billy Corgan. And when they publicly speak, they talk about looking for a wrestler who fits a certain brand, fits a certain image. You know, they're looking for the guys that the WWE gave up on too soon or didn't give them an adequate opportunity to shine. And I don't know where Elijah Burke slots into that, because I remember watching Elijah Burke make his debut with Sylvester Turquet. I remember seeing the duo kind of come in, and I'm not going to say they ran the show, but they came in and had some mild success, and then the duo was split up because you put Elijah Burke in with these new ECW guys, the new WWECW group, whatever you want to call it. And Burke was, I mean, he was still pretty good on the mic. I mean, he was cutting these killer promos. They put him with Matt Stryker. They put him with CM Punk. They put him with Monty Brown. They put him with, they couldn't all be great. And I really felt like something positive was going to happen for Burke, but it just never materialized. And he went back to Ohio Valley. He'd win the Southern Tag Team titles. He's a former Ohio Valley TV champion. He's a former Ohio Valley heavyweight champion. And then he'd, you know, eventually make his way to Impact Wrestling, where he was a part-time wrestler. And I thought maybe, just maybe, that his in-ring career was done. Maybe he just couldn't keep up with that schedule anymore. Maybe he just couldn't handle being a full-time in-ring competitor. But if you look at the man's body of work, I mean, he's been active pretty consistently for a while. You know, I mean, this is just pulling it out of thin air, but, you know, Nick Aldis and the Pope have squared off before. I mean, it wasn't on any pay-per-view, and nobody was hyping it up as the next big thing, but, I mean, these two faced off on TNA's Explosion episode 405, you know, live at the Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, and that match then probably didn't mean a damn thing to anybody, but it means something now, doesn't it? I think this is a match that that really could really drive the business for the NWA. You know, that money match we kept talking about a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was Eli Drake versus Nick Aldis. And unfortunately, that match never came to fruition, but maybe this one will. Maybe the Pope versus Nick Aldis, the People's Champion versus the Real World's Champion, the National Treasure versus the Silver Tongue Pugilist. And the thing about the Pope is you can't deny him forever. The storyline is built in that you cannot deny this man because he only has to win a few more matches, right? If you just successfully retain that title 7 times, you know, you are in line for a World's Heavyweight Championship match. Well, he outlasted Tom Latimer. That's number one. He defeated Fred Rosser, and don't get me wrong, Fred Rosser looked great. I hope to see more Fred Rosser on this roster. But could Elijah Burke be the next NWA World Champion? Could Elijah Burke be the first African-American man to win an NWA World title since Ron Killings? I think he can. And I like to think that it's going to happen. What do you think? Thanks again for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. We genuinely appreciate your support. Would you consider subscribing so you won't miss any future episodes? We'd also like to remind you that we do a live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on YouTube at the Alliance Blog. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, TikTok, and Twitch at the Alliance Blog. Remember, absorb what is useful, reject what is useless, add what is essentially your own. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.